Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
When you have a funeral in the church, what comes first? The casket, right? Is led down this aisle, right here. Is brought before the altar and the baptismal font of the Lord. And what's here? The casket, what's in the casket? The physical remains of our loved one, right? They are not there. The physical remains of our loved one are here. The family has fond memories, but also tears. We grieve. St. Paul says we grieve, but not like those who have no hope. But he never said don't grieve, right? We're here at the funeral of a loved one. What must be said? Must be. We say good things about the loved one. We talk about their life. We talk about the Lord's blessings. But what absolutely must be said with a casket here? That Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death. Right? Wouldn't you insist on that? In a funeral for your loved one, it must be proclaimed by the pastor that our Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and in his resurrection is our resurrection. Did you hear this morning's gospel lesson? It's in your bulletin. Take a look at what the Sadducees say. You guys know of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes. Israel was a complicated religious situation. We think that's new, don't we? It's not. The Sadducees, it's right in the text, verse 27, then came to him some Sadducees. This is, what a pregnant phrase this is. Those who deny that there is a resurrection. I want us to think about this. The Sadducees are religious people. They read the Bible. They go to synagogue. They follow the laws of God. But they say there is no resurrection. Is that the most bizarre thing ever? What is it to be religious and to say that there's no resurrection? Have you ever thought that out? What's the point? Really, I'm serious. What's the point? If you're going to say, here's God's word, he wants us to live according to his word, we should be in worship together, but when you die, what happens? Nothing. Is that bizarre or what? And these Sadducees come to Jesus to confront him, and as always that happens with the critics, they take the word of God and they skew it, right? Because the word of God has this wonderful thing in the Old Testament, I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 25, where the Bible says that if a man and a woman are married and they have no children, and then the man dies, the man's brother should produce children with the widow. It might strike us as a little strange, but it's a matter of God's provision, right? And so they say, we're going to take, that's a beautiful passage that God cares for his people, that he wants to provide for his people. What a lovely passage of God's protection. And they want to twist that and say, we don't believe in the resurrection. So, hey, Jesus, a man was married to a woman and died childless. And so his brother had her as his wife. But how many brothers were there? Seven of them. How ridiculous. So the second man married her. The third man married her. The fourth man married her. The fifth, you see what they're doing? They're saying, this is so ridiculous. We don't believe in the resurrection, and we're going to show you how ridiculous it is. Who has noticed that people who reject the Bible tend to be scoffers? Right? Not just that they reject it, but they tend to sneer. Isn't that what they're doing? They're just sneering. Hey, Jesus, we got you on this one. Our loved one is laid out here. Nothing happens. And Jesus, we're going to prove it to you. This guy had seven wives. I'm sure that didn't happen. It's just they made it up. So what does Jesus do? I know what I want to do. I want to punch him in the nose. Don't you? Are we allowed as Christians to punch doubters in the nose? I want us to be clear. The answer to that is no. Everybody got that? Mount Olive Lutheran Church. do not assault people. This is in the name of the Lord. No. St. Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer. Do you remember that passage? Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. And if he ended it right there, we could be argumentative and rude and mean, but he doesn't end it there. What's the next thing? Do this with gentleness and respect. Darn. Be prepared to give an answer. And so the Lord Jesus doesn't berate them. He answers them. What he says is a couple of things. If you turn the page, Jesus says, the sons of this age, let's talk about this life. We marry, we get married, we have kids, we have grandkids. It's lovely, isn't it? Marriage, I think, next to salvation, a happy marriage is the second best blessing in all of life. Isn't it not? It's wonderful to be happily married. And then Jesus says a verse that some of us probably wish he did, and he says, those in the next age don't get married. It's a different thing. Marriage, by the way, is for love and support, for nurture, for compassion, for care, and partly for the procreation of children, right? Do we need to make children in heaven? No. So he says those in the next age don't marry. They're not given in marriage because they don't die anymore. There's no need for another generation. Our loved one in this casket, all of us in due time, get to heaven with the Lord where we live forever. So there's no marriage there. It says they're equal to the angels. They're sons of God. We should say sons or daughters of God. And they're sons and daughters of the resurrection. But then he goes to something that probably strikes our eye is, how did he get that point? Jesus says that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush. That's the passage that Mike read at the beginning, that Exodus 3 chapter. And this is why he goes there. Many passages in the Old Testament talk about the resurrection. Many. Not least of them, Job 19, right? I know that my Redeemer lives in the end when, even though my flesh is destroyed, I'll see him myself. Isn't that a great passage? Job 19. Jesus goes to Exodus because the Sadducees, right, read the Bible, go to church, but don't believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees only accept the first five books of the Bible. Not the rest of it, just the first five. And so Jesus says, you guys like Moses? Here's Moses. Moses said, in the passage on the bush, at the bush, Moses says to God, how should I say your name? And he says, I am who I am. We could teach a whole Bible class about that. But then the next thing God says, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Jesus goes, and there, that proves that he's the God of the living. And have you thought to yourself, that seems like such a strange verse to go to, but here's what he's saying. When God says, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, how is he speaking about those people? As if they're alive, right? He's speaking about them present tense. Not, Jesus doesn't say, and God doesn't identify himself by all these saints who are dead and that's it. He's saying, I identify myself by the saints who once lived here, then died, then went to heaven, and are where? Alive right now. Book of Exodus, the Sadducees take that book. What a beautiful passage that is. To pull that out of the text. And I want us to notice something, just one more thing about the grammar. In verse 38, Jesus says, he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. And who here loves grammar? None, one of you, really? A couple people love grammar. Who remembers a participle? Simple definition of a participle. A participle is a verb that ends in the letters ing. And it means present tense stuff going on. What am I doing right now? I'm preaching. Not I did preach, not I had preached. I'm preaching right now. It's what I'm doing. So this is what I want you to know. Where it says he's not the God of the dead, but the living. See, the living is a participle. Here's a funny thing. It's hard to do this in English, but in the Greek, so is the word dead. The word dead is a participle. What Jesus is saying is present tense, continuous action. He's saying if there was no resurrection, the way to think about the dead is that they died and they're still being dead. Right? That's what he's saying. If there's no resurrection, the truth is you're dead, you're buried, that's it. Right? If there's no resurrection. But there is a resurrection, so they're not being dead, they're what? Living. they're living. Have we laid to rest our loved ones? Yes. What are they doing right now? Living. Jesus said this, by the way, only days before his own crucifixion. This is Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 19 is the triumphal entry when he goes into Jerusalem for his last week. This happens in Holy Week. Within days, what's going to happen to Jesus? Dead? Staying dead? Rising? Living? Right? Jesus teaches about the resurrection better than that. Jesus is the resurrection. Isn't that nice? That's our hope. Not just because it's hopeful, not because we want to think it, but because Jesus lives right now. So do Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, our loved ones. When I was a small boy, I don't even remember how old I was, tiny. I was a small boy, not an infant, but a small boy. My parents always brought the kids to funerals. And the casket was open. My mother walked up to the casket. She put her hand, my great-grandfather, who's, I don't even know his name. His nickname was Poppy. I just know him as Poppy. My mother put her hand on his hands and said a prayer. And that's what I do to this day because I saw her model that. If I'm ever at one of your funerals and the casket is open, I'm going to put my hand on your loved one's hands. I'm going to say a prayer. But I remember the first funeral I ever went to, I had known Poppy when he was alive, and here he was, motionless. And I'll remember these words till the day I die. My mother said, "He's with Jesus." And you know how Jesus commends the faith of a child? My mother said to me, "He's with Jesus." And I just accepted that. That's how we ought to be. Right. He is not the God of those who are continuously dead, but he's the God of the what? Of the living. Thanks be to God. Amen.